God's blessings to you as we look at our scripture readings for this coming Sunday. And we're in the last 3 weeks of the church year in the pattern of our Lutheran churches and many other Christian churches. And the church year ends about the end of November, and then we start again into the life of Christ beginning in December, and preparations for Christmas and the birth of our Savior and so forth. But at the end of the church year, we think particularly about the end of all things and the return of Christ on the last day and being prepared for that. And we'll begin to hear some of those readings today. But let us begin with prayer. Lord, care for us in all of our life. We know you've been with us in the very earliest of days and helped and blessed us, and that you will continue to be with us through this life and even to everlasting life as well. Keep us confident in that always, and to be prepared too by continuing faith in Christ and in his words and promises for us. Bless us in our study today, and help us as we worship you to keep our eyes upon you and your great love. In your name we pray. Amen. As I've mentioned, we're focusing these last 3 weeks of the church year on end times and the return of Christ. The Old Testament lesson for this Sunday is from Amos chapter 5, verses 18 to 24. And Amos was one of those prophets of God who had to give a lot of warnings to God's people, particularly to the people of the northern kingdom of Israel at this time, because they were drifting far away from God and his will. And he warns them in this passage that hoping for the day of the Lord could be a bad thing as well as a good thing. And a bad thing in the sense that it could be a day of judgment and darkness and gloom, as this particular passage says. And Amos uses some pretty dramatic language, as if a man fled from a lion and a bear met him, or he went into the house and leaned his hand against the wall and a serpent bit him. That one bad thing after another, you might say. And that's true, and only true, though, if people are, as Amos describes in this passage, just going through the motions of worship, of offerings to their Lord, and actually are not much thinking about the Lord himself and his will, but in fact have been pulled away to false gods and false ways in their lives. And you see that a little bit after the passage, if you look at this in your Bible, where in verse 26, after our reading, it says, "You take up Succoth, your king, and Kiyun, your star god." And those are names for gods that people were worshiping in that part of the world at that time. And God's own people were getting pulled into these false ideas and false teachings. That's going to be trouble when the day of the Lord comes, Amos says. And so Amos is calling them back then to God's ways, to God's ways of justice and righteousness that come only from him, trusting his mercy and his truth and his forgiveness. And ultimately that would happen in Christ himself. It's a famous passage, verse 24, as this ends, "Let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream." It's God's blessings, the one true God that they need to follow. And if not, where you had the warning in verse 26 after our text about the false gods, God says, "I'll send you into exile beyond Damascus." That's the day of judgment, the day of the Lord in that sense, which will not be a good day for God's people if they keep going the wrong path. And of course, other readings today are encouraging us to stay on the right path with our Lord and God. The psalm is Psalm 70, and it's a short psalm of David. And once again, as often in his psalms, David had a up and down, rough life for a long time. and he's in danger again from his enemies. And he prays that the Lord would make haste to help him. Now, that's a phrase that's sometimes used in some of our liturgies, even to this very day. And to make haste means to hurry, to deliver and help him. And David is confident in his Lord. He knows the one true God. He knows that he's great. And he also knows and loves the fact that the Lord cares about him, and he trusts the salvation that comes through the Lord himself, even though at this particular time he's in trouble. He says he's poor and needy as he writes this psalm. And we have those kinds of times too in our own lives where we have troubles and difficulties, and we pray for God to deliver us. And like David, may we stay confident in the Lord and his promises. And as we trust him, then we're ready for whatever he has prepared for us in the future. And we can all, as this passage says, rejoice and be glad in the Lord and his mercy for us as his people. And that's the way to be prepared for the Lord and for our future, trusting him, his salvation, and his mercy, which again ultimately would come, the New Testament tells us, in Jesus. Our gospel lesson for this week is one of the parables of Jesus in Matthew chapter 25. Again, this is part of Holy Week, and Jesus is preparing for the future and what he's going to do for the sake of his people, for their salvation, but calling them to trust him and be ready for him and the things that are coming. And the parable is about 10 virgins. It means women of a marriageable age, but who are still virgins in their life. And they were assigned to wait for the coming of the bridegroom. This was part of wedding ceremonies in that part of the world at that particular time. And they would wait for the bridegroom, and then everyone would go to the bridegroom's home, and the wedding celebration, the after party, and all those kind of things would happen at that time, you might say. And scriptures say that the true bridegroom is our Lord Jesus Christ, and that he's coming again, although we don't know when that's going to be. But we need to be ready and prepared. And the parable tells then of five foolish ones of the 10 who were unprepared. They didn't have enough oil for their lamps, and they slept instead of being ready for the bridegroom, and are unprepared when he comes. Five, though, brought extra oil with them. They were ready, and some people would suggest the oil represents a faith and trust in the Lord. And they were prepared and welcomed the bridegroom then when he came. And they went to the marriage feast with him, and then the door is shut to that wedding feast. And that's another parable and picture image of God preparing a wedding feast for us, and heaven is sometimes pictured that way. But when the door shut, when Christ returns, it's too late for others to be allowed in. And then Jesus says to those who are in the outside, left outside, "I don't know you." And that indicates that they really didn't have saving faith in Jesus, even though they may have talked about him and thought about him sometimes. But their confidence was not in him, but in themselves or something else in this world, rather than Christ himself. And they were unprepared for his coming, the coming of the bridegroom. And Jesus then is calling his followers to watch and wait for his return. And that ultimately happens with confident faith and trust in Jesus. And that also means to keep that faith strong and to continue on to use those gifts God keeps giving us through his Spirit, to keep listening especially to his voice in his word, for that's where he speaks to us and encourages us. Jesus said in John 10, "The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name. They know him, he knows them. The sheep follow him, for they know his voice. They know it's the voice of the Lord Jesus that we need to follow, and his word in the scriptures and our confidence in him. And then Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. And that's what faith is all about, confidence in our Lord himself. It's the Lord who really enables us to have that kind of faith and wants to keep us in that faith as we're encouraged through him as our good shepherd. And so it's that kind of encouragement for us. And then we're prepared and we're ready whenever Jesus comes with the oil of faith and all the gifts of God that God gives to us. The epistle lesson then is from 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 to 18. And if you've been listening and following, you know that we've had several readings from 1 Thessalonians. And in this, at this point then, Paul speaks about a question that people were struggling with at this time. A lot of people thought Jesus would come back pretty quickly after his death and resurrection and ascension into heaven. But time was going on, and he hadn't come back. And some people who were believers were already starting to die. They were falling asleep, to use the term that's here, which means simply that they died. But they're dying in faith before Jesus had returned. And the question came up, can we still have hope for them too and their eternal future, even though they're not going to be alive when he comes back? And of course, Paul's answer is absolutely. We can always have faith in Christ, for we believe that Jesus died and he rose again. And our faith and foundation is in what Jesus has done for us. And he did all that. He dies and rose again, and all of his work was for the salvation of all believers. And then Paul goes on to describe what's going to happen. When believers die, this passage and others would tell us that their souls or their spirits depart and are with Christ in heaven. And I gave a reference to what Paul says in Philippians. I desire to depart and be with Christ if I just had my own choice about things. But he knows he's going to stay on and has more work to do in this life before he can depart and be with Christ. And again, the bodies of believers are returned to the ground or whatever happens to those bodies. But their spirit is with Christ already in the joys of heaven. And then when Jesus returns on that last day, this passage says God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. And that would seem to say that that the souls of the believers will be with Christ. And how that's all going to work, we don't know. But when he returns, God will bring those with him. And that's the time when their bodies will be raised on that last day when Christ returns. And it can happen very, very quickly because it's the power of God. Their bodies will be raised and changed and glorified and reunited with their souls in the fullness of what God has in store for us in everlasting life, life forever with our Lord. And only after that, when all those who've already died in Christ are taken care of, then the believers who are still alive on earth, Paul says, at that time, will be caught up together with them, with those whose bodies have been raised, and are also changed and glorified. And then we will always be with the Lord. And that's the great promise of God. And that's in everlasting life with our Lord in heaven, the new heavens and the new earth, the whole new existence, whatever that is that God has prepared for all of us. And this is a passage of great encouragement and of hope. And it really is for and it is about all believers in Christ. That's why we can have confidence about our loved ones who've already died in the past, those that would die in our lifetime. And we go through a lot of trouble and difficulty, but we have joy and hope because we know God's promises are sure for them because Jesus died and rose again, and he can take them through death and help them to rise to everlasting life also. And it's true for anybody in the future, too, until that day that Jesus returns. Our future is secure in Christ, Paul is saying. And until Jesus returns on that last day, there's also still time for more people to be brought to faith in Jesus and to have that certainty about their future as well. And Paul put it in 2 Corinthians 6:2, "Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." And that now is up to the time when Christ returns and finally the door is shut, and then it's too late for those blessings. But they're always available and always there in Christ our Savior. And we can be confident in Him above all, for ourselves, for our loved ones who've already died, confidence in our Savior. Those are the readings for this week. And again, a lot of things to think about and consider. And I hope that you will be able to go to a church and worship your Lord and listen to His words and promises together with other believers too. And if possible, to receive His gifts of the Holy Communion, if that's available, but the blessings of God. If you can't, and I know that some are just limited in what they can do, the Lord's still with us. He's with us always. And I hope you'll look at these scriptures and think about them and hear the promises of God and be confident in your Savior, your good shepherd who knows you and you know Him, and your future is secure. Well, the Lord's blessings to you all.